Welcome back, listeners. On this episode, I spoke to production designer David Bomba about his work on Ozark. During our discussion, we chatted about closing the final chapter of Ozark, creating the Navarro Estate, what he took away from the Ozark set, and much more.
But what show are you shooting in Atlanta, if you can say?
It's a new Netflix project that David E. Kelly is producing and writing, and Regina King is producing and directing.
Oh, nice.
She's directing, it's 6 episodes. It's based on the Tom Wolfe novel called A Man in Full.
Okay.
Jeff Daniels is starring, Diane Lane is in it. And yeah.
Can't go wrong with that at all.
No, it's a good team. I'm grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah. But talking about a great team, I mean, now that Ozark's done, I mean, how was it to say goodbye to such a fantastic show?
It's difficult. It's difficult. You know, it's funny when you you work on something in the moment, because of the last season was very, very difficult because of starting out with the COVID. I mean, we were one of the first shows in Atlanta that kind of jumped into production once the studios and the what was it, back to work orders came out. And so that was some growing pains that we had during that time. And then we shut down a couple of times because of COVID, but it was a long last season, but it was kind of bittersweet. You know, it's like you're on a job for a long time. It's like, oh, this is over now. But then a couple of days later, actually, you kind of like, oh, I really miss these people. I miss these faces.
Yeah.
It was a longer period of time of association than the normal. I mean, I normally do features, and you know, those can be anywhere from 3 to 5 or 6 months if they're, you know, modest scale. Mm-hmm. But being on a project for over a year, close to a year and a half, that was a long time for me.
Oh yeah. No, I can only imagine. But just to go back to your point, I mean, it's just, I mean, such an incredible run. And I can't imagine being in the same place for a year and a half working on, I mean, obviously there are so many different elements to the Ozark universe, I guess you could say. And I'm wondering, what was your favorite to design? I mean, a favorite of mine just has to be the on the water casino for sure.
That was a wonderful, it's actually the bit that drew me to the show for the third episode. I wanted to work with Jason Bateman, and I was reticent or hesitant to, because I didn't, you know, it's like, coming in on the third season, what's going to happen? You know, it's like there's already been most of the sets and the locations have been established. And I knew that the casino was coming up, and we both kind of wanted to give the show a bit of a twist. So the casino was definitely an amazing design opportunity and challenge in season 3. What I liked about season 4 was we kind of got to expand the Mexico world, which was also established in season 3. So we got to kind of expand the footprint of what we see of the Navarro estate. And that was a lot of fun, opening up with the whole season with the big party for the christening. That was a fun set, an exciting set to do.
Yeah.
Built some interiors of that as well. I kind of expanded the footprint of what was going on at the hacienda.
Mm-hmm. And what did you model that after? I'm curious.
When I read the description of the estate in season 3, in the first episode, I immediately thought of a hacienda, because I had worked extensively in Mexico in the mid to late 90s. And then did a feature there that was supposed to be Mexico for Cuba, or that was Mexico for Cuba. And I just remember seeing a bunch of these haciendas in the countryside that kind of were the center city hub for a large town or little villages that were around the hacienda. And I thought, we've seen the, you know, the El Chapo kind of drug lord lifestyle. Let's take this up a notch to something that's more, you know, more of a refined taste and a little bit more of a cultured Mexico feel to it. And so that's why we went kind of into that world. And we're so lucky in Atlanta to find a location that worked for that. It was the mausoleum of a cemetery that's south of downtown. Mm-hmm. Worked perfectly for us. Really, really pleased with that find.
And I'm curious, where did you find, and I know this is a very, maybe a strange question, but I'm fascinated with where you actually housed Navarro in terms of the jail. Where did you find that very large sort of dungeon-esque room? Oh,
that was a build. We built
that. That was a build.
That was built on stage. We built it for season 3 when Marty is taken and held captive. And then it came back in season 4 and we rebuilt it, not knowing when we wrapped season 3 that it was going to come back. So we rebuilt that set. But it was fashioned after imagery that I had in my, you know, in my photo files from Mexico. The lower portion of a hacienda, for the most part, the first floor, ground level, was normally warehouses. And it housed the secondary functions of the hacienda, like warehousing and storage. And it actually, some of them that I visited actually did have, you know, kind of holding cells, like jail cells. And so that's where the idea for the dungeon came from.
I love that. And I mean, what were, besides like the COVID of it all and the just like the timing of it, I mean, what were some other challenges that faced you on this particular season, especially it being the final one?
The thing about Ozark that from the beginning is it's written so, so beautifully. And so the challenges were more the day-to-day production challenges. The design challenges were welcomed. Those were, you know, the Chris Mundy and his team of writers, you know, describe things beautifully, and they are very open to suggestion. And so when we get a script, when we would receive a script, it's like if I had a question about something, or if we wanted to go this way or wanted to go that way, or if I had an idea, like it's scripted as this, but could this happen there? There was such a great rapport and collaborative environment that was set up by Chris Mundy and the writers. And what was different about season 3 was not having the physical presence of that kind of creative go-to for me. Chris Mundy comes in and out. He flies in and out, would fly in and out for, you know, at least every time a new director would come, he was present for some of their filming. In season 3, Jason Bateman was around most of the time, but because of COVID, in season 4, he would come in and act and then he would leave. So he would stay healthy and not interact as much as, I mean, we all had to kind of alter our interaction with people during COVID. So it was different not having that kind of tangible person. Luckily, Jason came back and directed the final episode and took us out with a bang. I kind of started my tenure with Ozark with Jason and got to end it with Jason Bateman. And he's a director that I really, really enjoyed working with and hope to work with again.
Yeah. No, I can only imagine that what the collaboration must have been like. I mean, you were just talking about, like, you would go to the writers and possibly make suggestions. Is there sort of an ostentatious suggestion that you made that made it into the production design?
That's a good question. Well, it probably goes back to season, you know, to season 3. The dungeon and the Navarro estate were something that I brought forward to Chris, and Chris had concerns that it might feel too melodramatic, that that the scenery and the location might be too much, but I didn't feel that way, and I asked him to trust me on that, which he did, and I think everybody was pleased with the outcome of that. So that was probably my biggest mark on Ozark was the Navarro estate. Besides the casino didn't play as much physically in this season because the birds are venturing into another route of laundering with the mental health facilities and the rehabilitation facilities. And so that was, I kind of lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. They were just going on a different route and,
So the Navarro estate was kind of like, I want to say that and the casino obviously were my signatures for Ozark. And it was nice also in Jason's episode, the final episode, to have kind of the big final gala, the Bird Family Foundation gala at the end. So we kind of in closing out, we kind of closed out with one of my additions that I gave to Ozark.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, it's nice that it's sort of like one final collection of all the characters in one final spot before they all sort of find themselves and their own fate.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, was there anything that you were able to take off the set?
I bring a lot of my own personal things to the set, and I did purchase some things from it, but there are some beautiful chairs that are in the office, the Schaefer office. Mm-hmm. And I purchased those because I guess that's my Ozark physical memory that'll live with me for a while.
Yeah. And then I guess final question for you, since we're close on time, I mean, what was your biggest takeaway from this entire sort of adventure of Ozark?
I got to work with some amazing directors and some amazing people. It was such a thrill this last season to work with Laura Linney as a director. It was I think it's the first time she directed, and she was amazing at it. Andrew Bernstein did the first block, and he was the one that we were, you know, he kind of got us through the challenges of getting a production up and going during COVID. And then Robin Wright, she directed a two episode block, the last two episodes of part one. And I really loved working with Laura and with Robin.
Yeah.
That this last season, and then finally getting to work with Jason again, that was the takeaway, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm jealous. You were with two of my favorite ladies, Julia Garner and Laura Linney, and you can't get a better duo than those two.
Nice. Yeah, no, again, like I said at the beginning, I feel very fortunate to be able to be a part of the, you know, at least the second half of Ozark.
Thank you all for listening. This episode was edited and produced by me, Jackson Vickery. Graphics were done by Dylan Michael, and the opening and closing theme were done by Sterling Gavinsky.